And we're going to jump into Matthew chapter 6. We've actually, in the last 27 weeks, we've covered one chapter. So we're moving fast now. Matthew chapter 6, we're studying this teaching of Jesus. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. For centuries, it was just called the Sermon. And, you know, over the years of reading all kinds of different biographies and, you know, about people's lives, that you know, especially pastors, missionaries, and so on, and, you know, some guys and women who have been teachers of the Word spend their whole ministry focused on these three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Eric Little, the guy who became famous with the Chariots of Fire, he spent his time in China. His ministry in China focused on these three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And, you know, the longer I do this, the more I'm convinced that if the church, you and I, the church, would just grab a hold of the things that are found in these three chapters, which there's so much stuff in there, as you know, and we would live those out, if they would be, we would let the Holy Spirit knead them into our hearts and into our lives, we would be different, the world would be different, the church would be different. And So we're moving from where Jesus has talked about, you know, some of the things that maybe people have had wrong, not fully understood. We're moving into where Jesus, you know, kind of from the heart and attitude into some things that Jesus once lived out in our lives. And if we take, you know, these verses seriously, and if we take today's verse seriously, we're only going to cover one verse today. If we take this verse seriously, this is a rock your world verse. And I mean, the reality is, what Jesus is going to say in this verse, I don't even know if we can figure it out. I don't know if we can figure out exactly how it all works. So it's a dangerous verse. And the Lord spoke, you know, before Jesus, the Lord spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, and he said this, and it'll be up on your screen. He says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" Now, the interesting thing is, sometimes we will say of someone, we'll say, "He has such a good heart." And that person might have such a good heart compared to a bunch of other hearts. But when you compare it to the original creation of the heart, we all have wicked hearts. We all just have deceptive hearts. We do. And you know, it's going to be a hard verse because sometimes, you know, we can't even figure out what's going on in our own heart. We don't even figure out why we do the things we do. And he says, it's wicked, deceitful, and wicked, and who really knows how bad it is? The Russian author Turgen said this. He said, "I do not know what the heart of a bad man is like, but I do know what the heart of a good man is like, and it's terrible." This is terrible. And that's what Jesus is going to talk about motive. He's going to talk today about, he's going to address motive and attitude in the human heart. That's what he's going to address in this one verse today. Here's how it goes. He says, "Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven." Or the NIV says it this way: "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Or the Message says it this way, Eugene Peterson. He says, "Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but God who made you won't be applauding." And he uses this line. He says, "Watch out." He says, "Be careful." He says, "Take notice." He says, "Be very careful." And he says that because the human heart is just so dangerous, this thing that's inside of us. And he says, "Watch it. Watch very carefully." And because the work of pride in our heart, in the human heart, the work of pride has so many, you know, it has so many tentacles that work in so many areas and in so many ways and at so many depths that he says, you need to be careful. You need to watch out. You need to be aware. Just again, because of how dangerous this thing pride is. And the interesting thing about pride is that pride sneaks up on us. I mean, we can try and go, I want to be humble. We can pray for humility, all those things. But the reality is this thing called pride, it just has a way of sneaking up into our lives. And that's part of the reason he says you just need to be careful. Tim Keller says, pride is the carbon monoxide of sin. It silently and slowly kills you without you even knowing it. That's why some of us have those meters in our house. Or in our, you know, we have them here in the church. When they can tell when the gas, you know, carbon monoxide poisoning can happen. Because you can, it can happen and you don't even know it. And that's how pride works. You can, it can happen and you don't even know it. The other thing that's interesting about pride is pride's contagious. You hang around, and I hang around proud people, and that we catch their bug. We catch the bug of pride. And we can catch that attitude. And the attitude of pride can become a way of life. It can just become, so it's not only dangerous, not only can we catch it, you know, from other people or be around other people and it becomes contagious, but it also is this thing that can become a way of life for us. You know, most often, we don't know that pride is showing, but everybody else around us knows it. Kind of like B.O. You guys don't know what I'm talking about? And you can spot it. You don't know that you have it, but you can spot it. Or people who are truly tone deaf. Now, not a lot of people are truly tone deaf, but there are certain people that are tone deaf, and they sing at the top of their lungs and have no idea how bad it sounds. Everybody around them knows it, but they don't know anything about it. They just don't sense it. And so Jesus says, watch out. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds so that other people will admire you. That's what he says. What he's talking about is how dangerous it is to be admired by others. The interesting thing is, we live in and swim in the water as humans of being admired and wanting to be admired. I was reading this week an article, just came at the right time, but it's an article in the New York Times about parents and especially moms who want their daughters or their children to be internet influencers. Long article and very interesting. The article is actually entitled, A Marketplace of Girl Influencers Managed by Mom and Stalked by Men, is what the title is. Now, if you're not familiar, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So internet influencers are people who make a name for themselves, they get noticed, they get admired, they make a name known for themselves, and they gain followers, and it can be for all kinds of reasons. I mean, there's people that are cooks, there's people that are sports analysis, there's people that follow politics, I mean, just all kinds of things, beauty aids, apparel, all kinds of things. And it's on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, and it's everywhere. And what's interesting is how young it gets started. How young it gets started. And oftentimes in the world we're living in, when they're young, the parents are the drivers behind it that their kid would get recognized. That somehow, you know, something would go, as we use in our world today, the whole idea of viral. You know, something would go viral and they get recognized. So a couple of them, there's a 9-year-old girl, she's maybe 10 now, but Nastaya, who has 113 million followers on YouTube. She's an influencer. She's out there, and her parents drive her business. They drive her business. Or Ryan's World, which might be more familiar to some of us, has 36.5 million followers. You know, he takes toys, and he'll unwrap a box. He'll take the toy out, might put the toy together, and then he comments on the toy. And kids watch him like crazy. Probably your kids know exactly what I'm talking about Ryan's World or some of these things. And the interesting thing of all of that, one of the things the article tried to make a point of, was one out of every three teenagers who, when they're surveyed in school surveys, when they're surveyed across the country, one out of every three want to make a living or a career out of being an internet influencer. They don't want to be doctors. They don't want to be nurses. They don't want to be lawyers. They don't want to be teachers. They don't want to be pastors. They want to be internet influencers. 30% say that. See, we swim in this world of everybody wanting to be admired. I mean, it's not even the water. It's like gel we swim in. That's the world we're living in. And it's not just the world. Think about the church world for a minute. You know, it's the world I work in. It's the world I live in all the time, this, the church world. But the number of, you know, things that are out there, coaches and books and video series and so on, to teach pastors and church leaders how to brand themselves, how to make their name known, how to sell more books, how to become more popular. And in the music industry, you know, in the whole music industry, about what's the number one song, what's the, you know, like, and we sing some of them, but what's the number one song, what's the number two song, and all the things that get publicized about all, about, you know, the which ones are most famous, which ones are most sang today. And we all understand that, but there is something behind it. It seems a little incongruent to me that we celebrate people because they're admired. Doesn't that seem a little incongruent? I mean, and I understand the music awards and, you know, the Grammys and all that stuff, but that we have, you know, that we have Christian Dove Awards. And I'm not a musician, and I'm not a huge music person as a whole, but it seems a little incongruent that we have all of that going on. When Jesus says, don't do your good deeds before people that they would admire you. It just seems, they're just, and maybe I'm just weird, but it just seems like a little bit incongruent that we, you know, what's the number one worship song chart? And I mean, the Saturday radio program on some of the, you know, the popular Christian radio stations, countdown. Okay, we're going to count down. We're going to play the 30th and then the 29th and then the 21st and then, you know, whatever happens to be. And now here's the number one most, you know, popular or sang now worship song. If you stay long enough on that channel, you'll get to the, you know, what the number one. It just seems a little incongruent. There just seems like, wait a second. See, pride is always trying to attract people's attention. That's what pride is always trying to do. It's needing to be noticed. You know, it starts real young. I mean, all your kids or your grandkids or whatever it happens to be, watch me, watch me, watch me. And they'll say it over and over. You're not watching me, watch me. And it starts so young. And it's not something that necessarily parents create or the world creates. It's something ingrained in the human heart. This desire to be noticed, needing to be admired, needing the appropriate approval of others. You know, there was a song in 1972, which a lot of you or some of you aren't old enough to know the original, but Carly Simon, who sang You're So Vain. If you remember that song, and some of you now have it playing in your mind, you're starting to sing it. And it goes like, there's one line and it says, you had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself, gavotte, which is a French word for dance. You had one eye in the mirror as you, and just that whole idea of vanity. Again, it's not something that we create. It's something that flows in the human heart. And we want to be seen. C.S. Lewis says this. He said, pride gets no joy out of having something, only out of having more than the next man. We say that people are proud of being rich or clever or good-looking, but they're not. They're proud of being richer or cleverer, however you say that word, or being better looking than others. It's the comparison that makes you proud and the pleasure of being above the rest. And Jesus says, watch out that you don't do your good deeds. Watch out that you don't live your life of faith before people that they admire you, is what he says. And you know, goes clear back to the root before humans were even created. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about this angel. We, you know, oftentimes referred to as Lucifer, although Isaiah doesn't say that. But there's this angel, and the angel wanted to be like God. It says this in Isaiah 14. It says, for you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven, and set my throne above God's stars. And it was that attitude that wanted to be better, or the attitude of pride, that brought him to the place where he was cast out. He and a bunch of other angels were cast out of heaven. Or the root of being of Adam and Eve's disobedience. What did the serpent say to Eve? You could be what? You could be like God. You could be better than a human. Who wants to be human? I mean, look at all how many humans there are. Who wants to be like a human? You could be like God. And she ate of the fruit. Or people gathered around, and this is after the flood, God decided he's going to restart the human race with the flood. And after the flood, it's not very long till all of these people got together, and they got together in what is modern day Iraq. It was called Babylon at the time. And it said, they said this to themselves. They said it among themselves. Come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous. This will make us famous. See, it's ingrained. It's in this human heart, this desire to be admired by others. And it's not just admired in the positive way either. It can be people want to be admired in the negative way. I mean, we talk about peer pressure, and you know, you're working with teenagers or working with kids, but it's an adult thing too, this thing of peer pressure. Sometimes people make certain choices that are good choices to make because they want to be admired by people. But sometimes people make choices they shouldn't make, and they do it so they would be admired or accepted by a certain group of people or a certain person. For whatever reason, there's something that is driving them to say, I really want to be accepted by that guy, or I really want to be accepted by that girl, or I really want to be accepted by that crowd. And people make choices they shouldn't otherwise make, but they do it for the purpose of being admired in a negative sense. Does that make sense? It happens both ways. It happens both ways. People make choices because they're so desperate to be admired. Now, let me take you on a little side road here for a second. Because if you've been around most of our series, or if you're, you know, familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, it might be this little thing that, you know, went off in your brain, like, wait a second, Matt. Because he says, beware or watch out that you don't do your good deeds before people that they would see them and to be admired. But wait a second, when we first started this series months ago, didn't Jesus say just the exact opposite? Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Here's what it says. He says, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. I mean, that's where we started months ago. You know, let your good deeds shine out for everybody to see. And now, just a little while later in this message, Jesus says, don't do your good deeds before people that they would admire you. Well, which is it, Jesus? What do you want us to do? Do you want us to do our good deeds before people, or do you want us not to do our good deeds before people? A little bit confusing, wouldn't you say? Like, what's he talking about? He's trying to make two different messages. He's trying to send two different messages. In Matthew 5:16, he's trying to say, don't hide your faith. Don't hide the fact that you trust in me. Don't hide the fact that you're following me. Let it be seen that everyone would worship and adore God and give glory to God. Here, he's saying, don't do your good deeds so that everybody admires you and you make a name for yourself. He's talking about two different points. In one, he addresses the human heart and the temptation to hide our faith in God. The temptation every one of us at one time or another experience in different environments, the temptation to not really let everything be seen. Because we don't want to be outside, the outsider. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Like, you're at work and, you know, some conversation comes up or something happens and, you know, just shy away a little bit from letting people know. Well, no, I don't buy that, because that's not where the Messiah that I follow wants me to stand. And there's a temptation to kind of pull back, kind of hide. That's what Jesus was talking about. He says nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bucket. He puts it out on the lampstand so everybody could see it. That's what he was talking about. So that verse, Jesus is addressing the temptation to not let everyone know I'm a follower of Jesus. Because if they knew I was a follower of Jesus, I might not be part of the crowd. That's the temptation there. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus is addressing the temptation to show off our goodness so that we can be admired by other people. So he does say two totally different things, but he's addressing two different ideas. One is that we hide our faith, and the other one is that we show off our faith so people will think good about us. And in some environments, if we're all honest, in some environments we have been tempted to hide our faith, and in some environments we have been tempted to show off our faith so people would think good of us. Everybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it can be just as simple as this. Monday through Saturday, I hide my faith because I'm out there. But on Sunday, I'm in here, so I show off my faith because I want people in here to think I'm all part of them. Is everybody with me? That's what Jesus was, he's trying to, there's this tension that comes from both sides, the temptation to hide, but on the other side, the temptation to be admired. So what did God say? God said this: the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. See, here's the tendency of the human heart. The tendency of the human heart is to do the things we don't want people to know about in secret, but to do the things we want people to know about, to do them in public. That's the human tendency. That's what goes on. And Jesus is trying to address that. And he constantly addressed this proclivity in the human heart to want to be admired. Here's how he spoke to the religious leaders. He said, the Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all of this, and he scoffed at him. He said to them, you like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your heart. What this world honors is detestable in God's sight. He says, you like it that everybody notices you. You like it that everybody admires you. You like it that everybody sees what's going on. But God knows what's really going on inside of you. Now, this becomes a hard thing because I want to do good things. You want to do good things. I mean, we want to help people. We want to help the homeless. Whatever it happens to be, we want to do these good things. But the question becomes, am I wanting to do those things so that I get noticed? Or am I wanting to do those things because that's what God wants me to do and it would please God? I don't know. I mean, because I've been studying this all week. I've even looked back like this last week and looked back and go, okay, did I just do that because I wanted people to admire me? Is that why I did that? Or did I do it because it was the right thing to do? It becomes very confusing and hard to figure out, right? I mean, if we're all honest, sometimes we just do our stuff and we don't even think about it. But Jesus is saying, no, I want you to think about it. That's why he says, be careful. That's why he says, watch out. That's why he says, be on your guard. It's because he wants people to think about it. Because we spend so much time just doing without thinking about it. And it can become so confusing. F.F. Bruce, the Bible scholar, says this. He says, show what you are tempted to hide and hide what you're tempted to show. There's a little phrase you could just remember. Show what you're tempted to hide. That would be this whole idea of being disclosure. You know, letting people see the real things that are going on in my life versus the other side of hiding what I'm tempted to show. So Jesus said this. Well, a couple more thoughts on this. Jesus said this, and it'll be up on your screen. He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose your reward in heaven. So there's three ideas that I'm trying to get to you today. Watch out. Be aware of this. Concentrate on this. Understand that the human heart has to figure out, why am I doing what I'm doing? What are the motives behind what I'm doing right now? And then, not to do it to be admired by other people. But here he says, watch out. Don't do it so you're admired, because if you're admired by people, you lose your reward from the Father. And some of you might go, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Well, that's kind of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, like, if you get your reward from people, you lose your reward from the Father. Kent Hughes says it this way. Anyone who does a good deed to be seen and appreciated by others will lose his or her reward, no matter how good and beneficial the deed is. Absolutely no exceptions. Isn't that scary? Just this whole idea that I could do good things. I could be doing all kinds of good things. And yet if I'm doing those good things with a heart attitude that I want people to admire me, I want people to pat me on the back, I want people to give me the greatest pastor award, whatever it happens to be, that in doing all of that, then somehow I get people's admiration, but I lose any reward from the Father whatsoever. So when that final day comes, if you know the scriptures, in that final day, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says every man's works will be tested. And this is how I look at it. It's like there's going to be someday, this is just my goofy mind, okay? There's going to be a conveyor belt, okay? And when I die on that conveyor belt, everything about my life is going to be put on that conveyor belt, just dumped there. And then it says, 1 Corinthians 3 says, it goes through the furnace. And then it says, and it'll either be shown as gold, silver, or precious jewels, or wood, hay, or stubble. So there's the pile of Matt's stuff going down the conveyor belt, goes through the furnace, and there's the pile of Matt's stuff. And what's left there, I mean, this pile could be massive. Because if I'm doing good things to be admired by others, it's part of the pile. It's part of the pile. And that pile could be huge because I want to do all these good things. But if I'm doing them to be admired, when it comes out the other end, it's like, oh, too bad. You got all your reward over there. You get none over here. That's what Jesus is talking about. See, if you give all of your money away for a good cause, but if you do it to be admired, you lose your reward. You lose your reward. I can work to stop abortion, but if I do it to be admired, I lose my reward. I can visit the shut-in, but if I do it to be admired and noticed, I lose my reward. Or it's possible that a believer could care for a dying person, gently, you speak all kinds of words of comfort and so on, but do it for the wrong motive and lose their reward. It's possible to sing like an angel and have no reward, which is hard to imagine, but it's possible. Now, we're all thinking the best of Sarah and Brenda, that they lead worship because they want Jesus to touch every one of our hearts, not to be admired. Matter of fact, if they did it, led worship to be admired with their beautiful voices and talents, they wouldn't do it here. They'd go find some place where they would get noticed, because who's noticing Whidbey Island? Okay. One time, I'm going to disclose something here. I mean, I don't talk this way a lot, but let me just disclose something here. So a number of years ago, the Assemblies of God asked me to consider going to a different church that needed some leadership horsepower, as what they referred to it as. And they said, I said, well, I'm part of the organization, I said, I'll pray about it. I'll just pray about it. And I, you know, prayed about it. I asked the elders to pray about it with me and so on. And one day, Greg was up here, and you probably remember this, Greg, but asked him to pray with me about this, one of our elders. And Greg said, but Matt, wouldn't it be so cool to talk to so many more people on a Sunday morning? And I remember the instant thought that came into my heart, and I said to Greg, I said, it might be good for my ego, but that's probably the reason not to make a change. Because I know my heart. Now, I don't know always why I'm doing what I'm doing, but I do know my heart has got some wretched spots in it. Anybody else there? See, it's a scary thought that I lose. And he says, and how could that be? It's possible to do all the things we do following Jesus, But if we're doing them to be admired by other people, or we're doing it to, you know, just so that people, you know, watch me, whatever it happens to be, we can lose every reward because you get your praise there. And we're going to see that over and over again because Jesus is going to talk about it for the next couple of verses. He's going to talk about that same idea. You just lose your reward. That's why Jesus said, watch out. That's why he said, be very careful. That's why he said, pay attention to your heart. Because we can all do the right things with the wrong motive. I mean, we know the reverse is true. We can do the wrong thing with the right motive. We can say something, our heart being totally right, but having said the wrong thing. Last week, I traveled to Eastern Washington to Judy Siebert. And Judy and Jack and the Siebert family, one of our missionaries and so on, they were part of our church for like 30-plus years. And their family was part of the original people that were part of our church. And Judy passed away. So I went there for the funeral, had the opportunity to, you know, to participate in her memorial. And I told the story there. I said, I'm just going to tell two stories about Judy. And one of them was when she first came to the church. I first came to the church. I'm 27 years old, and I'm trying to make an impression upon people. All of that's gone. I lost all my rewards for all that, okay? But one Sunday, I'm talking to Beth, another woman in our church, Ken's previous wife who passed away of cancer. I'm talking to Beth, and Judy walks up. I said, hey, Judy. And then it just noticed there was something different about Judy. We're all chatting. And then I go, oh, hey, Judy, your hair's not as gray as it used to be. Yeah, you're all shaking your head like, Matt, I was 27. I was way stupider than I am now. And Beth said, Matt. Judy just chuckles, you know. Judy just chuckled. But Beth said, Matt, you don't say those things to women. I mean, I was just trying to, you know, I was trying to say something. So I did the wrong thing with the right attitude. Does that make sense? We all do that. The opposite is also true. We can do totally right things and have the wrong attitude about it, and have the wrong heart, and have the wrong motive. And that's where Jesus is saying, be very careful. Watch out what you do. Don't do it to be admired by others, because if you do, that's going to be your reward. The other people admired you. And you're going to lose your reward from the Father in heaven. Let's all stand together. I'm going to end with one of my favorite quotes from Abraham Lincoln, and then I'm going to pray. It'll be up on your screen. He says, "What kills a skunk is the publicity it gives itself." Isn't that a great quote? I mean, that's what kills the skunk, is somebody shoots it because it stinks. It's letting off its smell. And that's what pride does. It tends to let off its smell wherever it goes. Lord, help us. We recognize that our hearts are deceitful and wicked. We recognize, even as we've tried over the years to allow you to continue to do the transforming work inside of us, we know our hearts still are desperate for more work. Lord, do your work in our hearts. As we move through the next couple of chapters, we want to do the right things, and we want to do the right things with the right motive. And that means you got to keep transforming our heart. You got to keep transforming our heart. Us in the room, those that are online with us and will be later today and sometime this week, we need you, Jesus, to transform our hearts. That we could do the right things. We want to do the right things, but we could also do the right things with the right motive and the right attitude. So Jesus, help us, we pray. You say amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go have a great afternoon. And those of you that are online, thanks for joining us. There is some folks up here that would love to pray with you. Don't leave. If you came hoping to get prayed for, don't leave without them praying for you.